Hi guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the In The Hood podcast, brought to you by Playbox Technology UK. In today's episode, we're joined by Fernando Lopez Cisneros, an experienced business development professional and co-founder of Furnext, a company that helps small and medium businesses in our industry to grow and navigate change. Really hope that you enjoy this episode. So, welcome to the In The Hood podcast today, Fernando. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, we are here in German with everybody's log.
Yes, yeah.
But I'm fine, thank you.
That's good to hear, Fernando. So, I think we're just going to jump straight into the questions then, if that's okay, Fernando.
Fine. Let's keep going.
Awesome. So, Fernando, for anyone who might not already know, how did you get started in the broadcasting industry?
Well, that's is a little bit related with my history. I'm Spanish. Maybe some people already noticed that. But I grew up in Brazil, you know, and my family moved very early there. So I began my television station's life in Brazil. And that is why I speak a very funny English there. And that I begin to work in TV stations because in Brazil, if you are not a middle-class, rich family, you have to work and study at the same time. And because in television, you have the chance to work at night shifts, you know. So yeah, I was studying during the day and I was going to work on the night. And sometimes it was different. You know, I work it during the day, I study during the night. So that was giving me the chance to make my money to pay the private university. And then I keep this industry. I didn't done anything in my life which has nothing to do with television broadcasting. You know, since that, by 17 years old, 18 years old, until today, you know, I'm working in the broadcasting. And that's a fascinating section of the industry because it's always a technology change, technologies, challenges. And I really love very much that. Yeah. Another aspect is when I begin in television, where I like the television, is that it's a tools to creating dreams, expectations to people at home, you know? So they join what the television offering or what the TV program are offering. So that particular technology and the message of the content that we're putting out is what is very, very positive for me. That's why I'm staying in this industry.
Yeah. And it's echoed quite a lot throughout this podcast and some of the guests that we've had on. And it's that no one really wants to leave the industry. You know, once people get into the broadcasting industry, it's kind of like they're there for the long term, isn't it?
Yes. You get involved. You get emotional with what you're doing, you know. To be a good professional, you should be 10 years doing the same job. And then you really realize that you know what you're doing, you know. Before that, you start to bumping around and do your job. But after 10 years, and when you are 10 years in the job, you love that job. If not, you are not 10 years on the job. So that is very, very, very appeal why people stay in the broadcasting industry.
Yeah. And Fernando, I know you touched quite briefly on it, but what is it about the broadcasting industry that keeps you excited and interested?
It's a technology change, you know. It's a technology change. It's a new way to do things, you know. Just to put a number, you know? Every 3 years or 5 years, there is a new technology coming in, new way of produce video events, you know. I think that we will speak very much during this podcast. I think that that is what is really fascinating and let me stay in this industry forever.
No, it's great to hear, Fernando, and I completely agree with you there. It's such an exciting industry and it's so fast-paced. No, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. So if we just move over to kind of business development as a topic, Fernando, and I know that's an area that you have quite a lot of experience in, especially in the broadcasting industry. What do you think makes a good business development strategy for businesses in the broadcasting industry? And is that strategy the same for both the small and big businesses, or does it need to be altered in any way?
Yes, business development is a big umbrella and several things, you know. People give different names for different sections, you know. You can do a business development for the product. Some people might call that a product marketing or, you know, product owner. You know, there is a different name. You can do a business development for the product line or the whole product line. You can create some strategies that you can do business development for sales channels. You know, you have a channels partners that you're creating that. So that there is a different way of define a business development. You know, if we pick up one example, you know, business development for a product, or business development for the region, you know. I was that in a company which the target was, you know, make the presence of this company and that particular country, you know, well known, the people appreciate the technology, and finally, you know, selling the product, you know. So that was a business development focus in the company, perception on the region, you know, and strategy. So we achieved that. We achieved that with promoting the company, doing POCs, doing demos, be present in the exhibition, you know. And then we creating seminars, you know, training sections. And the people was all the time know more about the technology of this company. Yeah. All the time we done at the end, we present the product and we talk about, you know, how the product was made, how developed. So that is a strategy when the client requests, you know, make the knowledge of the company on the region and finally sell the product. So it's different, the different for companies and companies, you know. Small companies and big companies. It's a big difference when you talk about small companies and big companies in terms of business development for that particular situation, you know. Small companies, let's see, you know, one product, two product company, you know, they are very much related with the dealer network. The dealer network who will defend the product to the end user, you know, bring the product and end user. The company should have a correct and appropriate dealer who the product portfolio they already have, you know, your product or the product of this company, you know, we add on value of what they have, you know, or by reinforcing that product portfolio that the dealer had. Because the dealer working, you know, not only a black box business, but they are small system integrators, so they can have the power of bundle. When you work with a big companies with, you know, 4 or 5 product lines, you know, then it is important. Also, the deal is not a question. The deal is important, but it's important that the product have, you know, relationship with another product lines, that there is a connection, an operational side, engineering side, between the product that you try to introduce and another product lines, you know. Because again, the dealer or the salesperson, big companies, mostly selling direct, you know, they have a more bundle power to do that. So the product strategy for small companies and the big companies, you know, differing very much between of them. You know, that is some cares that we as a product development have to focus when we went to launch the product or bring the product to the front.
So Fernando, just kind of moving parallel to that, are there any kind of common misconceptions or errors that are made by kind of small businesses especially in our industry, when they're trying to grow in this way?
Well, you know, growing is something very...
It's a bit of a mystery,
very,
isn't it?
Very sometimes. Good. Yeah. It's a mystery. Everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to make more money.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The ambition is very big. I will take one example here, you know, and don't take me the numbers, but just the concept, you know, of that. Pick up a small company, okay? A small company is 5 to 6 person company, okay? And then you have a revenue of 5 million. Can be 6, 7, depending on how successful it is. You already have this company for 3 years. Okay, so what's happened typically in this company? So the CEO, the CFO, the marketing director, the logistic manager is the same guy, is the owner.
Yeah.
So then you as a business developer, you have to go there and start to separate these sections. And I believe the people are capable, you know, and do several of these sections pretty well, you know, but this guy is not Superman, you know. So it's, you know, then he coming with ambition of grow because the product is good. The product can regenerate 2 times more sales they are doing now. This is 5 million. They can do 10 million. But there is one consideration he has to take care of. The people behind the company. The people who make this product successful. And he realized that to make, let's see, 50% more revenue next year, he need to put more for person. And that is the beginning of the mistake. Because the culture of the company, the way they relate between them, the way they talk between them, the way they work between them is part of what the product is successful. Putting more people is not a direct line between, you know, more people, more sales, you know. So the steps should be thought, should be considered. Don't be ambition. Grow, but grow with sense. See how your organization is reacting to new members. And then when you become bigger, maybe you start to put Salesforce, you know, Jura, or another monitoring software to control the people, to control the activities. And then the company start to get cranky, start to slow because you are growing too quickly. So don't stop to think about grow your company because you are making benefit for the people who work in your company too, but measure the steps. Measure the steps because the way you go up very slowly, you go down very quickly.
That's a very good point.
So be careful. This is very, very careful. Said, now I don't want to grow more because I start to damage the organization. Yeah, or they are not prepared. Okay, I will open another product line. I will begin another section, another group, you know, and grow up that group. But know the limitations of your team or your people, yeah, and the cultural behavior of that people, yeah. Because there is not a successful product if not there are successful team behind that.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree with that. I think that's some fantastic advice, Fernando. I mean, it only speaks to your kind of expertise, obviously, in business development. Because I was just thinking before we kind of jumped onto the podcast, it must be really difficult for small business owners to kind of make that leap and give away some of their, you know, creative control and some of their control. But if you know, growth is the mindset, like you said, if it can be done carefully, it's necessary, isn't it? They're going to have to kind of outsource some of those yes. things they do themselves, yep. or risk burning out, which can yeah. be really catastrophic, yeah. can't yeah. it?
I saw many companies which the CEO of the company was the owner, and they didn't go yeah. too far. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for the person, because he should know what is the CEO and what is the owner. He should put himself in the position, how I explain to the owner of the company what I'm doing. But this person, because the owner, so sometimes he misjudged himself. He said, I do because I am the owner. You know, and then is the beginning of the way down, you know, because yeah. Yeah. That is no easy position.
And like you said, Fernando, the way down can often be quick, can't it?
The way down is much, much quicker than go up.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, yeah, to echo that, it's about being careful, isn't it? In you know, how, yes. how you adopt these people around you, taking on these responsibilities and measure every step of the way as well.
Yeah.
So Fernando, if we'll just move on to FurNext, which is obviously your new venture that you've set up, could you just tell our audience a little bit more about FurNext and what the company kind of seeks to achieve?
Well, FurNext is a concept that I already been thinking about from many years, you know, as I went to, you know, I don't know how many exhibitions around the world over the years, you know, I see these small booths, you know, with very dynamic and very attractive people, and they think that idea is the greatest idea of the world, and they have a lot of market segments. And one of the things they do is they pick up most anyone who went to be a dealer as a dealer. And then the business doesn't grow. And they have, let's see, 100 dealers. And that is one of the mistakes of these small companies have, you know. They think the dealer is a dealer and they will do business. There is much more to sell a product. To sell a product, you have to make easy for the dealer self. You have to make it attractive to the dealer self. You have to bring a good margin for them. The product should have synergy with what he's selling, because he go to the client and he talk with a light director and he's selling AD converters. So this is where I begin, you know, seeing these people with a great concept, but in the moment they went to implement it, yeah, it's not that simple. Because I have a new product and I have a great product, you know, I will do that, you know. So this is what FurNext is a little bit, you know. Bring your product, your idea to the correct way to be attractive to the client. Resolve the problem of the client. How I present the product that I'm resolving your problem. Or I improve your work floor. Don't tell me it's cheaper, because this is a wrong concept, you know. It's a wrong concept, you know. So cheaper, everybody have different concept of cheaper, you know. So you know, so that is what business development job, one of the business development job is. Bring the product and understanding the client and the workflow of the client, you know. And this is one of the sections. Another section is some companies, for example, which is have a talent people, right, in several places, you know. But they went to go international. Oh, you know, I have a dealer in Malaysia. Oh, he's great. They don't understand, you know, why the price positioning, the cost of ownership of the, your product, the taxations they have to have. It's not how much you sell, how much he have to pay to have your goods and your territory. You know, so that is the cost of ownership. And then the cost of ownership of the end user.
Of course.
What kind of people he have to have, what kind of expertise he have to have, you know. So pricing positioning is also one of our tools, you know, to assist middle, small companies, you know, to bring to the market, you know, and to understand that. So this kind of activities is what we are focused, you know. We don't want to be a partner for the rest of the life. We want to drive you or your company or your start company to the correct way, you know, and that you can go away and you understanding the steps, yeah, that is needed to be a successful product.
100%. It's sometimes it's very easy to just think, as a small company, we'll go out, we'll figure it out as we go along. You know, we'll just try and grow really quickly and get our product into as many different territories as possible. But it's you can't underestimate the value of coming to experts, you know, like you guys that can, you know, kind of path out the way forwards and map out the way forwards for small businesses.
Yeah, you have to depend on the product. You have to make user friendly, you know. If, for example, if you go for countries which are the English, it's not a strong no on the region or on the level of the people who are using that equipment, you know. So you have to make user friendly. So you will, you know, because the manager buys the equipment, the operator operated the equipment. If this guy kill your product, you never will sell anything anymore. But for example, in some regions, you know, the manager who was well-educated person and everything what you like, you know, he's go well with the English, you know. But the operator, you know, is the guy who make a technical education in the region, you know. He's not that keen on the, and that you have to make easy for them. This is a small details that we go on, you know, and make a successful product. Yeah. And a particularly a product which is don't coming from the big five, you know, a product who coming from the middle industry, yeah, you have to make friendly to be used. So this is kind of, you know, what Fairnex with experience these people have. It's not only me, it's another colleagues, yeah, which can help starters in the small companies.
Yeah, and I know for sure there's a lot of exciting ideas and fresh new kind of innovations coming out of small companies as well that really are ripe for growth and yeah, incorporating into our industry on a much bigger scale. So Fernando, it's a question we ask at the end of every podcast, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. What do you envision for the future of the broadcast and media industry? And we usually ask guests to keep it to one word and then obviously expand on it afterwards. But what do you see as a future for our industry?
Great. Fantastic.
Hey, I like it. Positivity.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the exciting things of this industry is the constant change, you know, at the different fronts. Yeah, let's talk about, you know, 4K. 4K is a pass. For the industry who develop a product, who take 2 years time to develop a product, a year and a half, it's a pass. It's already done. Yeah. The industry is pushing 8K. Japan, Korea, and strongly China. The 8K. You talk about a population, the middle class in China is 500 million. It's bigger than US and Europe.
It's a lot of people. it's a lot of people.
It's a lot of TV sets. It's a lot of things, you know. So how this will come? How there will be the producer workflow will show up to attend that kind of screams? How this, we still are giving the first steps. But I don't have a doubt that in 4 or 5 years, 8K will be in the house of many, many people.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one trend that is already, you know, exciting. Then we go to the technology. Cloud is all over the place. The AWS make a wonderful showcase, you know. They're already 15 years doing cloud. They celebrated this week, you know, there's a whole week of seminars of AWS over this 15 years on the cloud, you know. Google running behind, Microsoft is like crazy behind, you know. The Chinese, you know, is also looking to come very strong. There's no way. Today, remote production, editing, color corrections, everything also on the way of the cloud, you know. So that is another change in the industry. Fiverr. We already, the two continents, Europe and America, we have tons of Fiverr running behind all over the place, you know. Africa, they are putting extremely active fiber for the whole Africa subterranean, you know, underwater fiber for all the countries there, you know. So there are continuity there, you know. South America, the same. So this in the next five years, you know, that will grow in exponential way, you know. So that's what make cloud a solution. Everybody talk about latency. The latency is a problem that we had before and the people was concerned. Today, important is the audio and the video and the metadata coming at the same time in the same place. Latency is not more an issue. It's something that we have to leave. You know, we existing and we cannot get rid of that. It's a physics, you know. So I believe the cloud is one of the big differentiating things that happen in our industry. And another thing that I think we changed very much, you know, is what we call TV programs. The typical TV programmers that you sit there and sit at the BBC and watching, you know, these things is the day counted, you know. YouTube, Snapchat, yes. TikToks, they are. And then I will change that for TV program with the video events. The video events of 20 seconds or 50 yes. seconds or 5 minutes or 6 minutes. But people will not stay longer than 10, 12 minutes watching one video event. There will be change. Look at this generation that we talk about today. And 5 to 10 years, this generation is not more the generation today. We'll be in the 30s, we'll be 35, and they grow up watching video events who have a 50 minutes, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and that is what they will like to continue seeing. And the next ones who come in will be similar like that. So this traditional long events, you know, TV programs will be replaced by video events,
yeah.
Media events, you know, short content the content of the programs or the events very strong, very reduced. But that will be a change because our society will request change for this traditional way to do. I don't talk about football, soccer, they call America's football, sport events, you know. This is a live emotion, you know. This everybody's holding a little bit longer, you know. But how many times I don't watch the game and I go to YouTube to see the first shot.
Catch the highlights.
And yeah. I go for 10 minutes. I saw the whole, all the boring stuff is already gone. I go where the emotions are, you know. So then I'm satisfied. Yeah. If it's somebody I like to see, I like to see Messi play, then I stay to see. But if I went to see the game, you know, the Premier League, you know, it's a 50-minute event because the guy hit another one, and then he make a goal, you know. It's yeah. You know, it's kind of dynamism, you know, to watch. If you went to see somebody else, then you watch the whole thing. So the way we see programs is also on the way to change, you know, for the next generation. And that is, I think, another change that's coming in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a thing with our generation where all of this kind of short form content that we've been consuming, in large part thanks to the social media platforms that you were talking about, like YouTube and TikTok. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that does carry across to, you know, the more traditional kind of TV landscape. Yeah. And whether TV schedules from now will just be short 10-minute blocks, you know. I agree with you. I think when it comes to the longer form events like sports and football matches and particular things like that, our generation can be tempted in to watch the whole thing if there's going to be a sufficient payoff. But like you said, there's some programs 1 hour, 2 hours long that people in, you know, the younger people just aren't going to stick around for, are they? They'll go and watch the highlights instead.
You can't believe that this young generation, like you, you know, not like me, but the same thing, you know, you think you believe I stay 2 hours to watch, you know, a game, exactly, a game who goes 0-0, a game who, you know, nobody have the red card or nobody break the leg, you know, that's just, you know, at the end, you go, sir, I waste 2 hours of my life, you know, watch this thing. So if you went to see a singer or you went to see a player, that is another focus for the event, you know, but yeah, people definitely watching TV for emotion. If there is no emotion, a sad emotion or the happy emotion, you know, or satisfied emotion, like a discovery, you know, oh, how intelligent I am after this 1 hour, you know, I learned something, you know. But there's so many things to do in these 2 hours that if I'm not very focused on that, I go to see the highlights.
And I can't blame you, Fernando. I think the kind of concept of change has been quite a recurring theme throughout this podcast, you know, for both good and bad reasons. How difficult do you think it is to navigate change in our industry for the small and medium companies that you've had experience with?
Well, I think the small companies, they have the benefits of to be small. Technology changed very much. And the tendency today, you know, our companies and the small middle companies, most of them, you know, it's a software defined platforms. They come in with a software package. Yeah. Instead, and the traditional industry, you know, is a hardware defined equipment. It's true that for every software, you need a hardware. If not, you can't play the software, you know. That is true. But today there are so many alternatives to plug softwares. You have the COTS, you know, you get the devices that are standard in the industry or almost standard industry, then you can play your software and start to work as a hardware dedicated. You have boards with PCI Express, you have with IOs. So less and less you need a dedicated hardware. The benefits of the small companies, you know, is that they can shift much quickly from one environment to a next environment. Yeah? For the hardware-oriented to just software-oriented company. The big companies are much slower in that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. There is a Canadian company. I have to say the name. There's several ones there. You know, 100% oriented. Let's see, 100% overdoing, but 80% oriented in hardware company.
Yeah.
And if you go to the website jobs website to this company, I count another day. They are looking for 25 new engineers. Yeah. With 23 are software defined people. So that change for them, you know, is harder because they have a legacy. They have to maintain their products. They have to maintain the hardware at least 5 years. So that companies are suffering that transition, what's happened today. So is the chance for the middle and size company, you know, look at that platform and make a software-oriented, you know, a software-oriented company. And that is the benefits that I see today for the middle and the small companies.
Yeah, and it's important to future-proof yourself whilst you're in a position to be able to do so quickly, like you said, and not have to upscale all of your operations across the world.
Yes.
You know, keep it close to home and get future-proofed, I think. So thank you for obviously answering all the questions that we had for you, Fernando. Is there anything exciting in the pipeline for you or with Next that you can tell us about today?
I unfortunately, I cannot talk very much about the clients we are working, you know, because it's kind of strategy confidentiality. We don't sign any NDAs, but we are professional enough to respect the company who ask us to support. We have at the moment, this is a company which was launched in February. At the moment, we are working with two startup companies, you know, and complete different market segments, you know, and that, you know, look very, very good. At the moment, our challenge is that people know this company existed. You know, it's not you have a good idea, but nobody knows. You know, it's the case of a small company. So my task now is make that Fernex more known in the industry, and then we're looking for some advertising campaign and the magazines. And then, you know, we're looking for the Starbucks concept. One another one. Tell to another one, not to, and another one tell to another one, you know. And that's the target for Fednex. Help and do the challenges for small and middle companies, you know. Their challenge make our challenge, and together, you know, bring the company where it should do. Our intention is not be forever. Our intention is show the guy, show the directions, you know, show them the way, and then they develop by themselves. We don't want to babysit any company or, you know, we want to work together, make their challenges our challenges, and let them go away by themselves.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a really exciting start, Fernando. And I'm sure you're getting stuck in and really involved with it. And it just sounds like quite a lot of fun at the moment. And best of luck, obviously, with all the awareness activities and the marketing activities as well that you guys will be carrying out. And I think word of mouth in this industry is particularly important, like you said, and having that kind of Starbucks concept of you know, people passing along the name and stuff like that. So how can people get in touch with you or Fernex to find out more about what you guys are up to and what kind of services you guys provide?
Yeah, we have a website, from Fernando. Fair. Next is always my concept. I go ahead, fairnext.com, and you can find my WhatsApp number. You can find my my email address there. You know, in the LinkedIn, Fernando Lopez, Fairnext is there. You can also reach me by the LinkedIn.
So if anyone is interested, please do go and reach out to Fernando through those avenues. So, Fernando, thank you very much for obviously coming on to the podcast today and answering the questions that we had for you. It's been really great.
I really appreciate this chance for you guys giving the time, you know. And, you know, we are here ready for next challenge.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much, Fernando.
You're welcome.